Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And what do we have for this evening?
We've watched Nine Kittens of Christmas.
That's a it's a follow-up.
Yeah. We'll get into the details of it.
Oh, okay.
The Sister Swap, A Hometown Holiday.
Which we only, that's two-parter.
Yeah, the second part comes on tonight. And then I watched A Very Merry Bridesmaid. You heard me being annoyed with it, and you watched a few minutes of it.
Yeah, I passively watched it. A lot of times when you want to start something like at 11 o'clock at night, even though we both wake up at like 5, I go to bed, and you're like, you're not going to watch this? And then, I turn my head away from the TV laying down. I'm like, I'm just going to listen to it. I'm just going to listen to it and enjoy.
I don't understand just listening to something.
And, well, you know, it normally doesn't work out very long because I fall asleep in a few minutes.
Well, I think like you also like to just have the TV on too.
Yeah, I do. It's comforting.
I don't. So maybe that's part of it. Or like people who like nap with the TV on. I'm not a fan of that.
So while you were watching and I was sleeping, well, listening / sleeping, I heard a lot of groans.
The Very Merry Bridesmaid. I missed the first 3 minutes, so I had no idea. Really, the whole movie had no idea what was going on. But it's like this family and their son is getting married on Christmas Eve. And I don't know if he lives where he lives or not. And they're all doctors, except like his sister is not. She like owns a store and in this little town. And so his like best childhood friend comes home to be his best man, and a love connection happens between the sister and mm-hmm. the best friend. Like right from the beginning, he's like way into her. And it's her birthday on Christmas Eve, and it's a very like 16 Candles plot where they've like forgotten about her birthday. And so he's the best man's very concerned about making sure her birthday is celebrated, and she's like, dude, I'm cool, it's fine. And he like won't let it go. So it's supposed to take place in like the suburbs of Chicago.
Reference
Buffalo Grove, but the town is like something Lake, but Rose Lake.
The one point when I was watching, the guy was reading the Chicago Daily News.
And the main story was about a school being given like $15,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's weird that they like say Buffalo Grove, but then it takes place in Rose Lake. There's so many generic suburb names.
Yeah. If they just stuck with Buffalo Grove, yeah, why don't they do that?
But it's this very like wealthy white family, and like the parents are trying to retire to like Portugal or something. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have like the wedding at their house, but then the brother, the guy's getting married, is like, wait, I found out that the bride's childhood home is like was going to be sold. And so I just bought it so we can have the wedding there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the whole bride storyline is that she's really upset the whole time because her dress got lost in the like
supply chain.
She
problem.
I don't know where she was, because again, I missed the first 3 minutes. I missed every important thing.
There's a lot of exposition in the first like couple of minutes of each Hallmark movie.
She was flying there, and she had it in a she had checked it in a garment bag. And they lost it, and it came from a designer in London, and she had gone there, gone to London 3 times for fittings. And at one point she's like, I know that seems extravagant, but my mother loved this. And I was like, yes, that's crazy. And it was all like, her parents were dead. But again, I don't know the story with that, because that happened in the first 3 minutes. And so like a home was really like important to her, but she was such a drip, the bride.
There was a point where I was listening, and I heard you complaining because the boyfriend mm-hmm. brought her to the house, like showed her the house that she grew up in,
right?
And
it was like a brand new house,
right? Yeah. It was like built in 2019.
It's like, just like such a brand new subdivision McMansion house. And so then they had to like, one thing he had to do was rebuild a gazebo in the back or something. And okay, this is winter in Chicago, you can't paint when the temperature is below 50 or 60 degrees. So they were painting and it was snowing. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing. And then when they had the wedding at the house, they had this like tent outside, but it had no walls to it. It was just like the top was covered. And again, it was snowing and people were wearing sleeveless dresses and there were no heaters either.
Yeah, that's questionable.
I mean, I know that these movies are not realistic and they're filmed in the summer in Canada, but
make an effort.
Oh my gosh, it's winter in Chicago. There's nothing in Chicago other than it's cold.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that.
So what happened with this one?
I thought that the wedding was going to be the next day and that's why she was so upset about the dress, but they had like 2 or 3 weeks to get this dress. And then when they showed a picture of the dress, I was like, really? And then when she got another dress, and like when you didn't really see the dress, but when her friend who owned a wedding dress store or whatever, who had curled bangs, showed her like the dress she had made, she was like, oh. And then when she had it on, I was like, that? And then, the wedding dress, spoiler, the wedding dress showed up right after the wedding. And then the sister and the best man were like eating in the gazebo and the mom was like, oh, the end. let's go to Portugal.
So what would you rate this on a scale of 1 through 4 Hallmark cards?
I'd give it a 1. I didn't like anybody. It was a dumb story. I feel like I was watching it downstairs and I was yelling upstairs, this is terrible. But 9 Kids of Christmas was better. We had heard some mixed reviews from people and I thought I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I feel though, and I felt this in the first one, that they have no chemistry. Brandon, like Merrill Lee and what's his name? Brandon Ralph. Yeah. The firefighter guy. And so there's so he's a firefighter. She's a vet. She had moved to Miami to do like her residency and they had been dating mm-hmm. since the last one, which was many years ago. But then he kind of like never wanted to change. Like he just sort of was like, why? Let's just keep doing what we're doing.
His, on the fire team.
No, but I mean, as far as their relationship goes, like he never really wanted to like progress anything. He didn't, he just sort of liked everything to stay like status mm-hmm. quo. And so she was sick of that. And so she went to Miami to do like her residency and then they broke up. She stayed, he didn't go with her. She stayed there to open a vet clinic. And so she comes back to see her sister for Christmas and he finds some kittens that have been dumped at the fire station and she helps him
find homes
for them and get them vetted. And oh, the town vet had just retired. So we know what happens with that. But there's like Gregory Harrison is the fire mm-hmm. chief and his daughter is a firefighter. And she's like, I don't know how old, like 21 or something. Yeah, and Brandon Ralph looks he's had some gray temples.
Yeah, he's in his 40s, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. But there was way more chemistry between the two of them than Meryl Lee. Like it was a lot about her cat and how like sad she was that her cat died. I don't know.
You have no sympathy for that?
No, as someone who loves animals and would be really sad when one of ours died, her cat was, I don't know, just sat there. And when she talked to it, it didn't talk back like his cat does.
Our friend, Tinus Fondelis, who, she watches a lot of these Hallmark movies. And so I saw her tweeting that she said she called it the worst Hallmark movie I don't know, maybe of all time, but of the season.
No.
And I was like, no.
She hasn't watched enough bad Hallmark movies.
No, like this was enjoyable. It's weird sometimes when like, yeah, he's just sitting there alone in his...
Talking to his cat.
In his apartment, talking to his cat.
His cat's great. Yeah, Queenie, the other cat. I was never impressed with Queenie.
I thought it was weird that he had... His office in the firehouse was just like right next to where they parked the fire trucks. Like they couldn't even carve out a room to make a temporary office.
No, it looks cooler with the fire trucks.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was, I don't know. I enjoyed it. And they adopted all of them.
And there's like real rescue stuff where someone's like, oh, I want to adopt all of your cats. And really excited. And then they go to drop off their cats. They're like, oh, not really.
Yeah, we've had that happen.
That is a thing. Sleeveless in winter in Chicago, not a thing. People backing out of adoption, the thing.
Well, you know, things come up. She had that one girl, she had a thing come up.
Yeah.
What the thing was.
But I was like, when she said, I'm going to take all three, I'm like,
you knew it was going to end poorly.
Not sure about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kittens were cute.
I quite like that one. I thought
there's
it was enjoyable.
There's a good kid in it. Her niece.
What did the niece
She
do?
Was like really into the kittens and taking care of the kittens.
Oh, right. And they took a couple. The kid took a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Three.
If you're a fan of the first one, definitely watch it.
Yeah. But
the first one is classic. It's like my favorite ever.
But don't be afraid if you haven't seen the first one. I think you'll be able to catch up. You won't be completely lost.
Yeah, because it's all changed. I mean, the hardest thing you have to wrap your head around is like why she was in Miami and why they broke up.
And that comes out rather quickly. You'll figure that out. And Gregory Harrison, he's the head of the firehouse.
I mean, I know him well, but what is he known for?
I can't remember the show. It was on after 60 Minutes. It was like a CBS show.
Like recently?
No.
Or in like the 80s?
Like in the 80s, yeah. But so he eventually retires his captainship of the firehouse. And then, you know, the Nine Kittens guy, mm-hmm. he eventually is going to take over to be the chief of the firehouse.
And Gregory Harrison adopts a kitten or two kittens?
I think two. I think they adopted two to begin their new life as a retired couple. Gregory. Who do you think the first Gregory is when you Google? It's certainly not Gregory Harrison.
What's the first letter?
P.
Peck.
Yeah.
That was what I first thought, but I'm like, oh, that's one of my old references. No, nobody's looking for Gregory Peck.
Oh, yeah. He played Dr. George Alonzo Gonzo Gates, the young surgeon assistant to Trapper John.
Oh, Trapper John.
CBS series Trapper
I've
John.
I've never watched MD. 1 second of Trapper John, but I'm fully aware of it. Yeah.
He also He played the ruthless business tycoon Michael Sharp in the CBS series Falcon Crest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking it was like a soap opera, but not a daytime soap opera.
Since 2015, he has played Joe O'Toole, father of Oliver, in the Hallmark Channel expansion films of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
I'm very aware of making references that nobody knows, and it's a combination of getting older and younger people not knowing older references.
Yeah.
And I'm very nervous about saying things and sounding old because of those references. Do you think like Trapper John's a cool reference? We know someone who like doesn't every reference, like even really obvious things this person doesn't know. And so we always say like, do you think that person knows who Gregory Harrison is?
That person does not know who Gregory Harrison is. But like,
we'll get into deep conversations about references that nobody knows. that's our baseline.
In fact, we were, I don't know, something at work came up where we were talking about scary movie, I don't know, something, and E.T. popped up, the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial. And one of the newspersons, had not seen E.T., but was not familiar with E.T. as the extraterrestrial. Like,
had he ever heard of E.T.?
I think he had heard of it, but like never had seen the poster, like didn't
or
know.
Like a toy.
Right, yeah.
Or a Reese's Pieces commercial.
Right, yeah, yeah. Which,
yeah, that's how does that not
I know,
happen?
He's, you know, he's probably in his 20s, so he's young, obviously, yeah. But that movie seems iconic, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's only like two generations removed. It's not like it's from the 40s or something.
Right. Trapper John MD, not iconic, I would not say.
That's deeper.
Oh, not good. Although maybe it was one of the best CBS television dramas that followed Murder, She Wrote.
Weirdly, though, I don't know if I would know who was in any of the CBS shows
currently.
Now.
Yeah.
Though. But like on Sister Swap, the guy who plays her, like the contractor guy or whatever, he's like, his IMDb page is all
CBS stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in like every show, plays like some small role in every show or medium role mm-hmm. in every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just looks like generic, attractive, middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Competent man or whatever, you know, so I'm sure it's he's made a good living off of these medium roles.
We were also talking about something at work, which I thought was hilarious. We're talking about the office experience, mm-hmm. which is downtown,
I don't know what it, I know it, what it, I know it exists, but what is it?
That's a good question.
What do you do there?
I don't know.
Like, do you, is it a bar?
I don't know.
Is it interactive?
I don't know.
Do you just take Instagram photos?
I think, yeah, I think you okay. do that for sure. I think it's an Instagram place. And the person who had been there was saying that it was really great. And I think they recreate the office, you know, the actual physical office of how, you know, it looked with Pam and Jim and Michael Scott, you know. And he said it was better than like the pop-ups that we'd go to at
like
headquarters.
Like half-assed at bars.
Right, yeah. Where they just find a,
like,
you know,
put a poster,
up. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire is just like an old, like, it's like an unrolled poster that was in, you know, like when posters rolled up, but they got kind of crimped.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly, wow, yeah. This is exactly like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And then maybe just some bad Party City vampire things or something.
So he posed the question of, if you had to pick a TV set or even a movie set to visit, mm-hmm. like, what would it be?
Yeah.
And the answers we were getting were like, were incredible.
Did anybody say Trapper John?
No, nobody said Trapper John.
I can't remember what we were talking about the other day, but it was something about a reference and if it was still relevant you were talking about a TV show and I was like, nobody cares about that show anymore. And you were like, people still care about the Honeymooners. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're around WGN listeners way too much.
A lot of people were texting in the, what's the Kevin Costner?
Oh, Yellowstone. A lot
of people, the set of Yellowstone. No, this was, I had a dream that I was some sort of Christmas show.
Oh, yeah.
Impresario.
Yeah.
Impresario.
Yeah. Radio show.
Yeah. Where
like a syndicated radio
show.
I
created a syndicated Christmas show that radio stations all across the world would play on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Yeah.
With like music. And then I said, like, you know, and funny drop-ins like from the West Wing.
No, that's what it was. I'm like, nobody wants this.
You don't even really care it's the West Wing. It's all about the production values. It doesn't matter.
I feel like that number one, you know, there's like, oh, I'd like to save for retirement. I would like to travel more. And your number one, like, goal in life is to make more people, like, watch the West Wing.
I do. But that's what it was. And you were like, people don't care about the West Wing. I'm like, yes, they do. It was like a number one show for, and it's not that long ago. It was in the 2000s.
I think it's really limited who would still care about it.
It would only, like, in the 6-hour Christmas spectacular.
Well, like, when you first said this, I was like, oh, this is a really good idea. And then when you brought the West Wing part of it.
Nobody wants to listen to that. I think it is a good
idea. It's going to be like CJ doing the Jackal.
I think it is a good idea. I think I don't know, like, who to pitch this to.
The Dickensian hats clash with the, is it going to be that kind of clip? clash with the Santa hats. Or no, that's not what it is, but something like that.
That wasn't CJ. That was Maura McCormick.
I know, yeah.
Oh. But yeah, so I was like, yeah, this is it. This is going to be like, you know, how, like, the, you know, people make tons of money, like, you know, with old radio show, like, mm-hmm. you know, like playing, like, you know, Abbott and Costello.
You know? Do they make tons of money?
I think they do. Yeah.
I think this is a good idea because, like, most radio stations play, it's not like live stuff.
I think they're hungry for content.
Well, except that on Chirp, where you DJ, you're supposed to DJ you're DJing on Christmas. And whereas, like, the real radio station you actually work at, like, you can have the day off, but your volunteer job at the pretend radio station.
It's not a pretend, it's a real radio station.
If you live, like, within two blocks of it, it is. And you have to go to that on Christmas Day. And you guys can't play just like a tape on that day because everybody wants to listen to Chirp on Christmas, apparently.
There's a lot of lonely people at Christmas. People have, you know, the holidays are tough for people. They, you know, a lot of people don't have families.
Yes.
It's Christmas
music for shut-ins. They would enjoy listening a pre-taped thing just as much, I think.
But then, like, what if there's bad weather? Who's going to deliver the bad weather announcements? That would be me.
The internet. Their phone.
So I envision, like in my dream, like, yeah, we were living in a castle because of this Christmas show, you know?
All right, do it.
But then I was like, how much money can you make from a show that's only on once a year?
I know, because I always think about those jobs, like running the marathon, how, like a whole staff of people, that's all they do all year. Yeah. And then like Fresh Air, when she, it's like an hour long show once a day for like 3 months. Like it's a lot, it's repeats like a lot of the time. And she'll read like Anne-Marie Baldonado or whatever, the like producers. And yeah, she has like 100 producers that she thanks every time. And like, it takes that many people to make this 1 hour show. So I feel like that job would be one of these jobs where I'm like, this is a full-time job all the time just to create this.
But then I was thinking I would expand it to other holidays.
Yeah, except that...
like 4th of July.
Yeah, but those, I feel like it's not that big of a deal for somebody to come in on those days. Christmas is like the big one. I guess you could have like a patriotic one. You could have...
yeah, Halloween.
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah. West Wing clips again for Thanksgiving. Yeah. We were watching the reboot of Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. And Carrie Bradshaw is not a writer any longer. She's a podcaster.
Yeah.
I was.
It was more unrealistic than the winter, than the tent in in the winter in Chicago.
And
I would never listen to that podcast.
It was Carrie.
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee, supposedly funny guy. And then the girl who was on Grey's Anatomy.
Sara Ramirez. Yeah.
It was fine. I was like, oh, yeah, they're doing the podcast. But then they like that you kind of they pan out to see you can see like the control room. Mm-hmm. And there's like a main guy. And then there's like six people behind him. I'm like, what? Who? What are they doing? What are those six people doing?
Yeah, that's not a thing.
I like to run two shows by myself.
Well, and just like think about all the like when you listen to a podcast, it's like one producer usually. And then maybe there's like some production on top of that, but another person doing production. We kind of enjoyed that dumb show other than that.
The Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad it's back.
No, it wasn't perfect.
No.
But
I wasn't expecting it to be.
It's kind of a mess. But I like her. I'm happy to have her back. Happy to have the Carrie character back. And we were like, the second episode's better than the first, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's a little clunky in the first. And then it's sort of like they get into their groove more in the second. And I even was like tearing up in the second episode. Like getting choked up over one thing.
It's emotional.
Yeah. And yeah, so I just like her hair and her clothes and all of that and her closet and their apartments. And so, yeah, there's like some weird faces and there's some weird choices they made with the characters. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to have it back. There were many things in it that hit a little close to home where they all wear reading glasses and Carrie and Big have a big like vinyl collection.
Yeah,
and
they do.
Big rides a Peloton. I don't know. There were just things coming up where I'm like, oh, am I so basic? These are the things I'm into.
These are not basic people. The Sex and the City crew are not basic people.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Steve Eisenberg? Steve.
Yeah.
He has like a hearing aid.
Yeah, but I was like trying to remember, was that a callback to something? Did something happen to him? Something happened to him, right?
Did it?
And he lost his hearing? Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I feel I don't think it was an age thing.
I think it was
something had happened to him.
The person that looks the best is Kristen Davis's husband.
He looks exactly the same. Harry.
Harry, yeah.
He looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But he probably looked old for his age.
Yeah,
then,
that's true. He's
bald.
Yeah.
And so now he just looks appropriate for his age.
You know, Willie Garson, Stanford, he died.
He looks
he's really ill. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is sad. And he's I love his, he's so good.
His character's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good to have. Do they have a holiday episode, do you think?
No, they never had a holiday episode in the first one. So.
All right, so then.
So one more. We have the sister swap, a holiday, or hometown holiday. Holiday. So this is Kimberly Williams Paisley and Ashley Williams, who are sisters in real life and actresses, and they're both Hallmark alums, especially Ashley Williams. And I love Ashley Williams. And
I always think of her as a How I Met Your Mother actress.
Yeah, yeah. She was like the baker in How I Met Your Mother. And Keith just knocked over some podcasting stuff, and we wonder why the podcasting equipment never works. We've also had Nomu, our foster cat, just been sitting here very politely looking out the window at birds. So if anybody is interested in a cat, you don't want any of our pets. They're bad. Our foster cat is sweet and good. Well behaved.
Little Nomu. I haven't even noticed him.
He's just sitting there looking out the window for like almost the whole time. Anyway, so they play sisters in this, and one still lives in like their hometown and works for their parents own a bakery, and she works for them. And then Kimberly Williams Paisley, her husband had died, and they owned a restaurant together in Salt Lake City. Like, mm-hmm. And they act like it's like this, like it's New York.
Yeah. It was called Fern and Table or something.
Nope, but
Oak and Tree.
It's something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like kind of like fig and olive.
Yeah. And yeah, it looks like a nice restaurant.
Yeah, it does.
So she's going to finally take a break and take her son back home for the holidays. And Ashley Williams kind of needs a break from all that. So she comes into Salt Lake City and decides to just stay and help. They're going to have a big Christmas party that's going to be like in a magazine. And she's going to help set it up. So that's all like you would really leave.
That's
more
important.
For her to go home, but take her to the party.
Yeah,
first.
That seems very important.
Deal.
But she was
you're just letting your sister who doesn't work there take it over.
But then there was other people on staff that she trusted.
Yeah. So she goes back, and so they had this uncle, this like beloved uncle, and Kevin Nealon plays the uncle. He has died, but in like the flashbacks in old home movies, Kevin Nealon plays the uncle.
It was great seeing him playing the piano.
You didn't think it was weird that it was Kevin Nealon?
No, that was great.
It wasn't like their uncle. It was like Kevin Nealon. It was like Kevin Nealon was their uncle. But they really loved him like a strange amount, I would say.
He was beloved.
But they really loved him.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I just...
Do we know how he died? Did they ever say how he died?
I don't think they did.
Because I feel like a lot of families have like kind of like the cool uncle.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably single all his life and just did cool things. And then everybody kind of loved him. I think that was what Kevin Nealon was.
Yeah.
He worked at the theater.
He was eccentric. Yeah, so he owned a movie theater. And the parents have decided to sell the movie theater. And
the Madison.
And so Kimberly Williams wants to have like one more movie night where they show some old cartoon. And so they're trying to like get it back up and running to do this. And then they get they want to have somebody's interested in buying it, like a big multiplex is interested in buying it, and they want to preserve it. And, you know, the multiplex won't. So we have all of that. And her old like childhood friend or whatever is the contractor, and he's a widower too, I guess. So he has a daughter. The daughter is always around.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter is very pale and wears this like blue kind of Victorian coat, and I felt like she was a ghost the whole time. Like, nobody sees her. But her name is Madzy. What do you think her name is?
I think it's Magzy.
They say her name all the time, and it sounds like Madzy.
Come here, Magzy.
Oh, Madzy. I think it's Madzy, like Maisie, but with a D.
Madzy? Yeah. But it doesn't sound like they say that. They,
let's see if she's credited.
It feels like they say a G.
But, yeah, there's like, it's like Madge. Madge, and then Zee. Mm-hmm. Madge. And she walks around with her arm, like she doesn't move her arms. Like her arms are by her side, her little Victorian coat, which is very pale. Little ghost walking around Madge. But she's always around, and they're saying her name constantly.
This is a funny name to hear.
And
Kimberly Williams Paisley's son is you know, he was a big fan of Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
You know, he loved Kevin Nealon.
And it's been hard for him with his dad.
And he's a bit of a film buff, it seems, a cinephile.
Yeah.
And he is really taking on this project of restoring the projector and doing all this stuff with the theater. He's taking charge of all of this, too, along with, you know, the contractor and Madzy.
Her name is Madzy. I was right. It's Madzie. Madzy.
Madzy?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they say Madzy, though.
They don't say it like that. There's definitely a J or a G inserted in there. There's another highlight of this one is that her dad they, of course, they have the tree lighting is right before Christmas in Hallmark movie fashion, and they're excited to go to the tree lighting, and they go to the tree lighting, and again, like, this family is in charge of everything in town, too, and they go to the tree lighting, and there's a band playing, and we're like, what? The dad is in the band. He's playing guitar and singing in the band.
Yeah. He's in a wheelchair. Yeah. Like, the dad's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, which is, again, like, just the unforced subtle diversity that they've put into place this year.
But it was
yeah,
nice to
that's
see.
That's what I mean. It's like, it's nice that it's just, they're just becoming more inclusive without it feeling forced.
So yeah, when he's making the announcement about the tree lighting, but he has a guitar on his lap. Uh-huh. Like, what's going on here? And all of a sudden they start cranking up the tune and he starts belting. I don't even know. I can't remember. It might have been an original. I don't even think it was a cover song.
It's quite a band.
And he was good too. I wanted to actually look him up too. I was like, is he a famous like a famous musician that we should know?
He seemed very Canadian.
Famous Canadian musician we should know.
Like, I don't think I don't think he was that
guy. The unheralded fifth member of Rush.
He had a very dad band feel to him. But then all the while this is going on, something's happening at the restaurant that we don't know. The chef quit, and so they hire some food cart guy. And
they travel all the way to tell Kimberly Paisley Williams that the chef quit. Why couldn't this just be a text?
I don't know. I'm also unclear how far away it really is.
I think
they
said about an hour.
Okay. So, yeah, something's going on, and Ashley Williams has turned things upside down at the restaurant, I think. We'll find out tonight in the second part.
Yeah, I'm kind of
so
excited.
So now the second part is you see
her side. Yeah.
Of it. Very clever, Hallmark.
I thought it was really clever.
The other funny thing about this movie is that you were running with that kind of neighborhood running group, and you were like, oh, I was running with Greg, and we were talking about Hallmark movies and what he had seen, and I started talking about Sister Switch, and he thought I was talking about Princess Switch, and so we were having two different conversations, and then you're like, oh, wait, it was called Sister Swap. This is like two middle-aged men running at 6 o'clock in the morning talking about Christmas movies.
And so, like, when I said Sister Switch, and he was describing it, and I was like, oh, poor Greg doesn't even know what I'm talking about. So I just kind of let the conversation drop because I didn't feel like adding. I didn't feel like saying, no, Greg, this is
correcting him.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah. But yeah, it turns out I was naming the wrong
Which
movie.
One had he watched? He had watched.
He watched The Kittens of Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And then he watched the one that we had watched with Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah. Next Stop. Some Christmas or something like that.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
He liked those. And he mentioned a Netflix one that he really enjoyed. I can't remember the title. Who knows if it was accurate, but we'll have to look that up. Because we haven't really watched in any of the Netflix ones.
We're running out of time.
What do you mean?
The clock is ticking.
We still have like a week left.
No, but we're going to be out of town and...
Like Hallmark Channel doesn't exist out of town?
It might not.
I'm drinking a really lackluster.
So I came downstairs to record the podcast, and I was like, are you ready? And Pete's in the kitchen making hot chocolate, and I deemed hot chocolate not an afternoon drink. It's like sunny outside, and it's like 50 degrees, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and Pete's making a hot chocolate. And like every night, I'm like, let's have hot chocolate, and you're like, no. And then, but now.
It doesn't say on the box, must drink between 6 p.m. and midnight.
As if it wasn't a cozy time. It's like, yeah, it's hot. It's sunny and bright in the middle of the day. It's not like a cozy time to have a hot chocolate.
Well, it turns, and I got this big mug. I was really excited. We're going to record the podcast. I'll have some hot cocoa. It'll put me in the mood. And I made it, and I was excited, and then you came down, besides telling me it's improper to drink during the day. You were like, no, you have to add milk, you dummy.
Like, as if you were having, like, alcohol or something. I was like...
Like, this particular brand of hot cocoa.
Well, it's because it's vegan, so it doesn't have milk powder in it.
So, I just heated up some water, and then now I'm just drinking brown water. It's not good. So, I feel like I've wasted a little bit. But yeah. I disagree. I think hot cocoa can be... any time of day. You're right. It's probably nicer when it's dark out and you're like cozying up to a movie or whatever, as opposed to just the middle of the afternoon on a 50 degree Sunday. But so we'll have to do one more because we'll have to update on the Sister Swap.
Yeah.
And the outcome. Do we have anything else that we've watched? We haven't watched, like I said, we haven't watched any of the other Netflix, Hulu streaming options. We finished the Beatles.
Yeah, that's done.
Which was awesome. From the previous podcast, you've known that we like that. While we were watching the Beatles, I noticed a couple of doors down on one of the houses, mm-hmm. I just noticed a sign being put up that said free piano. And I was like, free piano? What does this mean? I was really thinking of like...
Oh, no.
Like, I was so into the Beatles and, Paul McCartney just being able to, just being able to, like, whip that out. I was like, I think we should just take this free piano and just start coming up with songs. We could do it. They had 3 weeks to come up with Let It Be.
Well, when the Beatles broke up, Paul just went to Linda and asked her if she wanted to start a band, and they started a band, so.
Yeah. It was there for a long time, and every time I pass it, I'm like, we should just get this piano. Like, When do we have an opportunity for a free piano? I don't know what shape it what shape it
knowing
was
that
in.
House, it's probably like it's how they lure you into their house and then they trap you in their basement.
Well, the sign's gone, so thankfully. Although I feel like when I was playing the guitar, when I was looking for a guitar, I would go to Craigslist. Mm-hmm. To see,
I feel like there's a lot of people who want to get rid of pianos if you'll just come and get it.
Exactly.
They'll give it to you for free if you'll carry
you'll
it
take
out
it out
there.
Of the house. Yeah. So they're out there. The dream hasn't the
every
dream
now and then you go
died.
Over to somebody's house and they have a piano and I'm always like, whoa. But when I was like, we had a piano when I was growing up and I feel like that was a thing that people had.
Yeah.
They had a piano.
Yeah. I'm not picturing, you know, a big Elton John type thing.
No.
I was just picturing, you know.
Yeah. Just like a little brown wall.
Right. Yeah. Piano, yeah. But yeah. I missed out. The sign was gone.
Too bad. You're going to get on Facebook Marketplace.
All right. So then we'll do one more here for sure. But we'll get it together to bring you the fascinating conclusion of Sister Swap. What's the second half of it called? Sister?
Christmas in the City.
Christmas in the City, yeah. And then maybe some other surprises. Are the Moody's coming back?
No. You ask me that every week.
We used to, on one of the old shows I used to work with, Phil Rosenthal, he was a longtime Tribune writer. He used to write about TV. He would come in like once a week and like people would just ask him, you know, a bunch of questions mm-hmm. about TV shows. And even back then, I remember when people ask about CBS shows, there was a sense of disdain in his answer. Yeah. This was 20 years ago because what I remember most is when people would ask, so is Family Guy coming back?
Uh-huh.
Because Family Guy was gone for a while.
Yeah.
And
then it did come back.
And it did come back. And it was like hugely successful.
Just keep asking. Where's Phil? You probably still have Phil Rosenthal's number, right?
Yeah.
Can you text him and ask him?
If the Moody's are coming back. Phil, what do you think? Are the Moody's ever coming back? Stranger Things have happened. 6 Feet Under is coming back.
That's so weird.
So, I mean.
Nobody was asking for that.
It ended perfectly. Why come back?
Oh, it did. It was like the best ending of a show ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I'll keep my hopes up for the Moody's, and then we'll be back in a little bit for, stay tuned for the fascinating conclusion of Sister Swap, Life in the City. What's it called?
I think it's Christmas in the City, but now I'm questioning myself.
Well, that one. All right, we'll talk to you later.